Welcome to the Hallmarkies podcast. I am here with Cammie, and we are here to talk about the last four movies. I didn't think about that because it was a span over 4 days, which is different what they've done since, like, what they did last year, which is like the two movies a night.
Right.
So,
hi everybody. Hello.
And Cammie's here with her wonderful Christmas shirt.
Oh yes. If you're on YouTube, there you go. If you're not watching, if you're only listening to the audio, I've got this awesome sweatshirt that my mom gave me. It's not quite an ugly Christmas sweater, but it's green. The collar has gold lining on it, and then it's got gold stars with a Santa right in the middle. So it's pretty cool.
Super fun. And I didn't even think of that. I was just like, oh, podcast. So, but I do have my Christmas Starbucks Merry Coffee cup. Whoop, whoop. And then I have my not so Christmas Disney shirt here. So, but it's okay. Mickey is celebrating Christmas as we speak.
Absolutely.
And then they are moving back to just the Friday, Saturday.
Or Saturday, Sunday.
Saturday, Sunday. That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Weekends. Which I'm kind of bummed about. I kind of wish it was at least Friday, Saturday, Sunday.
I agree. I mean, the overlapping, we can deal with that. But it was just so much easier. Just set the DVR every Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, and Sunday night. You know, and then we don't have to try to overlap. But, whatever, roll with the punches.
Yes. I will miss a Friday night movie. I will say that. I will say Hallmark if you're listening.
I'll say it too.
Yeah.
I'll say it too. I love the Friday night.
I love the Friday night movies because usually Friday I'm like done with the full week of work. I just want something happy and relaxing. And Friday night's like that's like our casual chill night. You know, Saturday's usually go, go, go for us. And then Sunday we have church. But Friday night's the one night we want like the Friday family movie night, you know? So, absolutely. So anyways, just a little plug there, Hallmark.
Friday.
Maybe we'll start a hashtag or something. Friday, Hallmark's Friday night movie or something. Let's get that trending.
Sure. You go ahead and start that,
Kate. I'll go ahead and start that. All righty. Let's start off with Blue Ridge Mountain Christmas. This was based on the book Christmas Bride. And then it starred Benjamin Ayers and Rachel Lee Cook. So this movie, as a recap, was basically about a girl who's helping her sister plan her wedding. And she plans it at the bed and breakfast where she grew up until she was about a teenager, and then they moved away and such. And she's a very important hotel manager. She comes home.
Assistant hotel manager.
Oh, that's right. That's key. And all that. So as that is a quick recap, I hope I whet your appetite to watch this movie if you haven't already. So pause here, watch it, and then come back. So Cammie, what were your overall thoughts?
This one was a sweet one in that I liked that it was somebody planning a wedding for somebody else. It wasn't somebody trying to plan their own wedding because that can get messy. And this is me, but I've never been one for Christmas weddings because I want Christmas to be by itself. And, you know, I can say that without any big anger problems because my parents were married at Christmas time. And so we've always had their anniversary, but I prefer being proposed to at Christmas, which my husband did do. So smart man. but we got married in June. And so I love being able to have Christmas be all by itself and be able to just celebrate Christmas and then have another reason to celebrate later. But if you're going to have a Christmas wedding, I thought this one was really nice. The funny thing is, I never noticed it before, but Rachel Lee Cook, she has mannerisms like my brother's wife. And so the whole time, yeah, it was really funny. I'm watching it, I'm going, oh my gosh, she looks like Shelley. And she doesn't look a thing like her, but her speech patterns and her mannerisms were so much like my sister-in-law. Benjamin Ayers definitely gets brownie points for being the really adorable single father, widower. Yes. Widowers are incredibly good looking, you know. So he gets brownie points for being a very good looking widower and a very sensitive father. I thought he did that really well. I liked everything that they did with it. The one thing is I thought that their chemistry was a little touch and go. There were times when it was really, really, really strong, and especially that the Christmas opening game. The Christmas opening game was very, very strong when they're when their hands are tied together and they're trying to open the little Christmas bell. Yeah, and the mom, the way she just throws the stuff behind her and like, your team. And their chemistry was so strong in that scene. And like I said, there were several times when it was really palpable, but then it let off. So, that's kind of disappointing.
I didn't get the romance as much. I definitely got the friendship.
Yeah, the romance aspect kind of got in the way. Otherwise, it was a fantastic story.
Yeah.
So.
I definitely agree with you. And then real quick on the Benjamin Ayers thing, let me just say, it is kind of funny to me how he can play like an older dad with a older kid, because he has he's in the Chronicle Mysteries.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And he has that daughter who's in college or something.
Yeah, she's a freshman in college, you're right.
And which means he's maybe slightly older than his character in this movie, which I thought he was maybe slightly younger. Still in that same range, but being a dad to a, 19, 20-year-old is totally different than being a dad to
a 10-year-old,
right? So I was pretty impressed with that. I was like, yeah, getting into the character of like the dad in that stage of life, was pretty impressive to me. And I definitely got the friendship chemistry there. I like lots of little aspects of it. One thing that kind of struck me as funny, and I'm a big mystery watcher, I love all the Hallmark mysteries, the couple, the sister Junie and the fiance, were both either the murderer or like an accomplice or something to
So you had trouble getting past that, huh?
I looked at Junie and I was like, oh, you were in that one movie, I think it was the Mystery 101, where she was the pharmacist or something like that.
I think so.
And then the fiance was in one of the Chronicle Mysteries. And he was also in, I think, Aurora Tea Garden and Garage Sale Mysteries, but he's always been.
He's a prominent character in Holly Robinson's Pete.
Oh, yes.
What is that called?
Morning Show Mysteries.
Morning Show. That was right on the tip of my tongue.
Yes.
Morning Show Mysteries, yes.
So that was just one thing that struck me as funny, because I was like, these are like two murderers in other series getting married together. This is funny. But they did their part so well. I mean, as non-murderers, of course, which I think shows the range of their acting.
They're playing non-murderers. Yes. They're amazing.
I also like the fact that her job wasn't a huge storyline like I thought it was going to be.
I agree. Mm-hmm. It was very much in the background. It wasn't, her career was banking on her getting a promotion or something like that.
Right.
It makes for a good storyline and a good driving force, but it's just nice to have something different. It's nice to be different every once in a while.
Yes. Yes. Because I totally thought they were going to do the whole, an inn. You know what? This would be a great, you know, sale for us. Go get it, especially since you have connections and all that. But it really wasn't. And that part of the storyline she came up with herself because she had an emotional investment to that, you know, the inn and save, well, quote unquote, saving it. But I really appreciated the fact that they didn't do the whole corporate craziness for this movie, because that's right. Just one more layer.
The other thing that I really appreciated is this family had already sold the inn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that Willow's family, Rachel's character, they had already sold the inn. They mm-hmm. sold the inn when she was 15 after her father passed away because they couldn't keep it up anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And they went to a restaurant, which is, you know, I think probably easier to handle, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why they made the move. But just the fact that they weren't, because yes, Benjamin heirs David, David is going back and forth between selling it and not selling it, but it's not because the inn is in trouble.
Right.
He just doesn't want to do it by himself anymore because it was his wife Shelley's passion.
Mm-hmm.
And so I really liked that aspect. It's funny though, my my husband, he's not the biggest Hallmark fan, mm-hmm. but he'll peek in every once in a while. And I wrote down what he said because it was so funny. Said he's a single dad and he's trying to make partner. He's crazy. Drop the partner. Keep the inn. My husband's it's very funny. Entrepreneurial. Yeah, he's very entrepreneurial minded. Mm-hmm. And so it's like, drop the partner. Keep the inn. There are so many more opportunities for growth if you advertise it right. You know?
Right. Get on Facebook, you know,
advertise those. The big thing is, as a partner, he'll still have people to answer to.
Mm-hmm.
But if he's the owner of the inn, flat out, then he doesn't have to answer to anybody. Yeah, he's big on that, my husband.
Yeah. I hear you on that. So one question, actually I have two questions. So the first question is, when did she give the business plan to David? Or did he just find it? Did I miss that?
Oh.
Because it seemed like they're talking in the bar and he says, oh, you heard I'm selling, like I made the deal or whatever. And she's holding her stuff and then she walks away. And then I think it was like a couple scenes later towards the end, she walks out of the inn after they find the little reindeer or whatever it was that Natalie had lost, the little stuffed animal, and he's holding her portfolio saying, when were you going to show me this, or something along those lines. And I was like, wait a second, I feel like there is a scene that was cut, like maybe he found it, or did she give it to him?
I don't think she gave it to him.
I didn't think she did either.
Yeah, I don't think she did. I don't have anything. I'm scanning my notes. I don't have anything on the, on him mm-hmm. getting the business plan. I don't think that was the other thing, is he wasn't angry about the idea, which mm-hmm. is nice.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
He wasn't angry about the idea of her company taking over the inn.
Right. Right.
So they just weren't interested. Yeah,
yeah.
They just weren't interested.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. But yeah, maybe a scene was cut. Maybe she had placed it and he picked it up and was like, what's this? Whose is this? And then he sees it and then end scene. She walks out, you know.
Possible.
We'll put that in our little imaginary missing scenes.
Put a pin in it.
And then my second question for this movie is the barn and the hotel in the same filming location?
That's a very good question, because mm-hmm. I mean, the answer is probably not, because they have to mix scenes and sets constantly and locations. The inn itself was in Darrow. Yes. Yeah, baby. That series, I'm just gonna say it right now. So Kimberly Williams Paisley, if you are listening, That is my favorite. The Darrow and Darrow is some of my favorite movies and mystery stuff. So, yes. And Tom Cavanaugh, you too.
Yes. Yeah. And part of the reason why I asked that is because they did a really good job of making you think it was in the same, like, it was just like a walk away, like, I don't know, across the street or something like that. Yeah. Just because of the panning of the filming, how they did that. Like, you'd see, you know, Rachel Lee Cook's character, like, look off in the distance towards where the barn is, and then they'd show the barn and her standing, like, in front of the barn looking at it in the very beginning.
Right.
Which it didn't, at that moment, I wasn't thinking, like, oh, they're at different places. But there are several moments where they did that, where the characters would look towards the barn.
Yeah.
Which was probably not there. But I thought they did a good job of making you believe it was in the same location.
It's all about movie magic.
Oh, yes. Yes. It just struck me when I realized that the house was the Darrow and Darrow house. And I was like, wait a second.
There's no barn. There's no barn.
Yeah. And that barn looks very familiar. I think, is it the same barn that Rita and Norman got married in?
I didn't recognize it as the Rita and Norman from Signed, Sealed, Delivered. Mm-hmm. What I recognized it was the one from the Kevin and Danica film, where they're the two best friends.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they're the maid of honor. The maid of honor and the best man. Wedding Bells, yes. Thank you. And Christopher Russell is the groom, and Tammy Gillis is the bride. Yes. Yeah, I'm pretty certain that's the place where they almost got married, and then where mm-hmm. Danica and Kevin's characters actually did get married.
Mm-hmm. So. Yes. Yeah. This is so much fun. I just love the fact that we're like, oh yeah, that's this house, and these people were in these movies, and this happened here.
and that we are Hallmark nerds enough to.
But we'd like to take a second to thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast. We are so delighted to be working with Glamour Jewelry Box, which is a really great thing, especially for this time of the year when you're trying to finish off that ensemble that you have for the holiday parties, other things going on. You want that perfect accessory to go with your outfit. You get every month a necklace, a set of earrings, and a bracelet. And they try to be on trend, but not too weird. Cammie, you got to see this jewelry. What did you think?
I thought it was gorgeous. It was just the right touch of classy, but different. I especially loved the bracelet because it had this kind of twisted, interconnected quality. And so I can't wait to wear it. This is gonna, it's my first little bit of Hallmarkies merch that I'm getting as an official podcast member. So I'm excited, and it's gonna be, I can't wait. Yeah. It's gonna be great.
It's really cool, and you get $5 off on your first month subscription. Go to glamourjewelrybox.com and enter Hallmarkies at checkout, and you can get your first box.
What would you give it now?
What would I give it now? I'd probably give it Orange Socks, because I didn't love it, but I did not hate it. It was not, and I really, I have to say this. I don't know her name, but the little girl who played Benjamin's daughter.
Oh yeah, Natalie. Mm-hmm.
Natalie. I don't know the actress's mm-hmm. name, but she was fantastic. Mm-hmm. And with child actors, it can be so touch and go. Yeah. And I thought that she did her part so beautifully. And I specifically remember at the tree lighting that she looked like Snow White as a little girl, because she had her black flowing hair and then the red bow. And so I said, oh my goodness, she looks like a little a small Snow White. And the person who was playing Willow's mom, the actress also played in When Calls the Heart. She played Greta, the investor who took over the bank. And so that immediately is a connection, because I'm the hooked hearty. So
yeah. She was also Oliver's lawyer in Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Oh, I remember that too. Yes. I'm a postable as well as a Hardy. I thought she did a really good job. Mm-hmm. So I would probably say Orange Socks, because there were some missing key elements for me personally. It was not my favorite one of the weekend, mm-hmm. but it was great. It mm-hmm. wasn't bad at all.
Yeah. My original ranking was Socks, and I gave them very boring. I just wrote Socks. Most of my other rankings were like all these like paragraphs of randomness. But I was just from reading the description, and I was just like, it really didn't hook me. But after watching this, I would upgrade to a small orange. I enjoyed it. I thought it was
all right,
fun, delightful, cute, lots of recognizable elements that kind of kept me like, whoa, okay, what's going on here? But I thought it was sweet. So awesome. Well, if you watch this movie this weekend, let us know what your rankings are, because we would love to hear it. So the next movie was Holiday for Hero, starring Melissa Claire Ian and Mark Blucas as Audrey and Matt. Alrighty. So one fun fact about this movie is our friend and co-host, who is not here at this moment, Lisa, aka Girl Gone Hallmark, also known as Lisa Faco on Twitter, was an extra in this movie with her daughters, her kiddos. And I remember when they filmed it, because she said it was really cold. And then I remember she tweeted,
it was actually cold?
Yeah, she said it was really, really cold that night. It was the tree lighting ceremony.
Okay.
That they were the extras in. And then I remember her tweeting really, and then quickly deleting it after, because I guess afterwards they said no social media. But I remember her saying, behind wrong guy. And I was like, oh, she's behind the wrong guy. Like the, you know, the antagonist,
male antagonist.
And then she deleted. She's like, oops, wasn't supposed to do that. They just made an announcement saying, delete all your social media posts about this.
Whoopsie.
Yeah. So that's a fun fact. We'll have to get her on and ask her about her experience. That'd be a fun little, you know, bonus episode, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah. So, didn't you have connections to this movie too?
I did.
You did, yeah.
This one meant a lot to me, because my friend McLean was the executive producer, and his wife Claire was the director. And McLean and I grew up together. We've known each other all our lives.
Oh wow.
And his first Hallmark movie project was Small Town Christmas, and he was the director. And so then he was in, and he and his wife just plunged in. And this was actually the first one that he told me about. He said, yeah, I did Small Town Christmas, and Claire is up for Holiday for Heroes. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's fantastic, McLean. Yeah. So, and then I got to talk to Claire, and I was talking to her about other projects, but I said, mm-hmm. is there anything that you could tell me about Holiday for Heroes? And, you know, she didn't want to give too much away. And we were talking about Love Fallen Order at the time. Mm-hmm. But one thing she did say is that, that Mark Blucas is just such a distinguished individual. Mm-hmm. And so it was really, really good for her to be able to work with him. Here it is. Mark is a man's man. Mark is a man's man. He's got a great build, and it was her first Hallmark project. So
this was, and
they made it together, McLean and Claire. So it was a really, really sweet thing for me, mm-hmm. because I got to cheer on my friend and his wife, because I've talked to her, but I have yet to meet her in person. So,
gotcha. That's so cool. Such a small world. Well, I'm just going to throw it out here because, I mean, it's gonna just snowball after, but you can tell them I loved this movie.
Like, okay, I'll tell them.
I love this movie. And when I say snowball, it will be snowballing into like gushing. Like I have a few notes here and it's like, love, love, love. I loved, 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 loved. My notes on my phone. last year's Veterans Christmas movie, I wasn't a huge fan of. It was okay. So this one, the story of it in itself with the letters and then, you know, the meaning, I was like, okay, I'm going to rank this really high. I said originally, and every kiss begins with K Diamond. I stand by my ranking.
I remember that. I remember that now. Yeah.
Yes. So before I go into like my gushing, how did you feel about this movie?
I loved it. I really did. I thought they had very, very good chemistry. Mm-hmm. Melissa Claire Egan, that it was her first Hallmark film and she nailed it.
She did.
I was really mad he didn't kiss her earlier.
Oh, yes.
I said in the tweet fest when they're doing the s'mores, I said, why did they not kiss them off each other's lips? Wait, is that too soon?
You know? Yeah.
And then there was that part where he almost kissed her, even had her by the face, and then he walked up like, come on!
I know. I was sitting there like this.
Yeah.
And then he walked away, and I was like, wait, what?
Are you kidding me?
It had
that beautiful moment where her brother and her friend's husband mm-hmm. are the toy soldiers, which
I know.
Was so cute. Now, this is the performer in me, because I was a theater major in college mm-hmm. and I still do acting sometimes, and I'm also a singer. So I'm a big performer. And so when they turned around and it became obvious that it was them, I said, don't stop, don't stop, don't stop. And I was so happy that they finished the routine. I was like, they did it!
Yay!
Because the performer in me, mm-hmm. Even though it's a sweet moment when you see someone that you haven't seen in a long time and you go running up to them, like, mm-hmm. you just ruined the performance! in Home for Christmas Day with Catherine Bell, and her daughter Betsy hears that her mm-hmm. boyfriend has been killed in action, you know, part of me completely understands that she would run off the stage.
Right.
But the performer in me is going, no, get through it, and then don't cry. You know? I'm terrible.
That's so funny.
That was one tiny little piece that just I really appreciated, that mm-hmm. they kept performing, they kept it going, and then it ended and everybody's all hugs and kisses.
Yes, yes. Oh, that was so sweet. I definitely cried in that moment. I mean, I knew it was coming. It's a Hallmark movie, right?
Of course, yeah.
You know, I knew it was coming, but then there was like a small piece of me that was like, no, you know, maybe they'll do like the whole like FaceTime, Skype, you know, giant TV and all of them are over there, but hopefully maybe they'll come in somehow, they'll be the soldiers. And then when I saw Matt's cap was like way low, as were all the others, I was like, oh, they're hiding their faces. I thought it was I love this movie. I also love that their miscommunication was more of like it was a natural misunderstanding, because
yes,
you know, they had written to each other over the course of a year. They're going to know each other enough. But then at the same time, when you first meet someone that, you know, you have strong feelings for, and then, so in, for example, Matt's character, they obviously had strong feelings for each other, but you don't just walk up to, you know, a girl and go, hey, who's that dude right there you've been talking to? like, is that your boyfriend? Because then it comes off as just, it's a kind of a turnoff, you know? So yeah. I appreciated that he kind of let things like take its course until it was, you know, revealed that, oh, wait a second, I was completely reading this wrong the whole time. And there was no giant blow up of like, how dare you? I can't believe you thought my realtor was my boyfriend. I mean, you know, that whole dynamic there was just like, wait a second, you know, hold on. What happened was, this is my realtor and this is what's been going on. So, you know, and he was like,
he asks her the way a normal person is supposed to.
Right. right. And like I said, you can't just meet someone and right off the bat just start slinging mud and accusing them of like, you weren't open with me. You told, you know, it's like you just met like 2 seconds ago, like in person. So I did appreciate that the misunderstanding wasn't a whole giant thing and it wasn't like full of resentment and full of like this, I don't know. A lot of the movies do that really bad misunderstanding where it's like, okay,
yeah,
I get your feelings, but at the same time, like, y'all just met, so you know, maybe ask some probing questions, they weren't leading you along, you know. So that was one thing I personally appreciated about this movie.
Well, and you gotta love her line, he spends more time on his hair than I do. Yeah, baby, yes.
That was just funny.
Yeah.
I loved the whole ice rink thing because that was something, one thing that makes these movies so special, even if they're not 100% accurate. My husband actually looked it up on his phone and said, they did the military part wrong. Will you just be quiet?
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know ya at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
That would be my husband, too.
Okay, good. I'm not the only one.
My husband's biggest problem with these movies at Christmas is when they're holding their cups and they're just like, oh, yeah, it's so hot. Like, and they're drinking. He's like, they're empty. Why do they act like they're holding empty cups? They need to act like it's hot. Like, nobody holds a hot cup like that.
Honey, I'm an actor. That bothers me terribly. Sorry. And, you know, not only are they holding a coffee cup that's supposed to be scintillating hot, but they just do this. Like, yeah, you did not take a drink. and they do this. Their lips are closed. I'm like, you did not just take a drink. Anyway, but... So one thing I really love about these movies is they find the moments, and that, and the ice rink was such a beautiful moment.
Oh, yeah.
Because he found something that is important to her, and the fact that she says, when it comes to Christmas, I operate on an 11, because that is me. I used to be, now I have 4 children, so I it's more geared toward them, and I have a toddler who is, he is called the klepto hurricane because he takes everything and destroys everything. So we have to kind of temper back the decorations because he'll grab everything. Yeah. But on a usual level, when I'm not dealing with kid stuff and I'm not bombarded by school things and everything, I operate Christmas at a total 11. And so he found something that was special to her, and And she said, yeah, this rink is probably at about a 4. And then he gets the hockey moms.
He said,
hockey moms can do anything. I'm like, yeah, they can.
Yeah. Yeah.
look at that thing. And it was magical. Oh, it was magical. And it just, that's what made my heart melt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I audibly gasped with all the trees and all the lights and everything. And I was like, oh.
I
loved this movie. I just loved it so much for so many different reasons. I love the family aspect. I loved all the details put into it. Just everything. This is a movie I would buy. You know, this is not one I would just, you know, just like put on and just like, I would buy it and I would probably watch it every year around Veterans Day, you know?
Yeah.
It was so good. So good. Yeah, it
was beautiful. It really was. There are two things that I really appreciated. Actually, three. At the very beginning, when he says, "This is home," I just went, that's the saddest thing I've ever heard.
I know.
It was just for him to say, "This is home." Oh. Mm-hmm. And then, but then what does her brother do? Just jumps on that, throws him the bag of coffee. I'm like, mm-hmm. I'm not a coffee drinker, so I can't appreciate the mm-hmm. fact that he gave him coffee, but right. I can appreciate a beautiful gesture. And mm-hmm. for that tiny little thing, tossing him a bag of coffee to start this entire process, that's huge.
Mm-hmm.
And then I can't remember who he's talking to, but he's saying that he's been riding this girl and it's his best friend who's mm-hmm. now the hockey coach. And the emails? No, actual letters. Yes! Yes! I love the written word, not mm-hmm. the typed word. I love the written word. And so that was something I really appreciated. Also, the fact that he is going to be Bart's assistant coach, mm-hmm. And then he is doing some extra work with Jade's son, mm-hmm. the fact that he's a coach and military, and mm-hmm. then he tutors them because he's a history buff too.
Right.
So he's the perfect mentor figure. Mm-hmm. And he not only helps them with their studies and their athletics, but he has the military perspective mm-hmm. and he can really help Jade's son get through the trying time of being mm-hmm. without his dad. It just was beautiful.
Yes.
Mark Lucas plays a serviceman very well. He did it in Operation Christmas flawlessly. Mm-hmm. He did it here flawlessly. I see a lot of servicemen roles in his future.
Yes. Yes, yes, absolutely. And on that point too, I mean, he's the perfect mentor for those, you know, for those kids, just because he's been there and that's a military town and they need someone like that who understands what these military kids are going through, because not everybody has that understanding and empathy. I loved it. Loved.
Oh, and with the misunderstanding thing,
mm-hmm.
here you probably appreciated this. Bart, he's speaking Matt's language. Don't make tactical decisions based on hearsay. I was like,
yes,
go Bart.
Yes.
Go Bart. Yeah,
I did appreciate
man.
That line. Yes. I did too,
because you could feel Matt wanting to go there, mm-hmm. wanting to do the whole misunderstanding mm-hmm. thing. But then he says, don't make tactical decisions based on hearsay. Like, mm-hmm. Yeah, man, you rule, Bart. Good man.
Yes, I did appreciate their friendship, how he just kind of guided, you know, he was Bart was Matt's mentor in a sense of like, you know,
easing
back into home, you know, normal civilian life again.
Sure,
with all that. So I like that he had a, you know, another man's man buddy, you know.
Yeah. Oh, and the other thing was the, would you let me embarrass you for a minute? The fact that she said it about him in the beginning. Mm-hmm. And one thing I really loved is when Matt said, tell them everything's okay.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're their heroes. Yes. And if they don't have to worry about what's at home, then mm-hmm. they can focus. And So then he turns the tables on her mm-hmm. and says, would you let me embarrass you for a minute? And even though the one problem I did have a little bit with is that once she chose Matt over Will, then the two seemed to be buddies. I'm like, wait a second, wouldn't there be some kind of rift?
Yeah.
But, you know, okay. You know, so that was the one thing that I had a little problem with, but just that everybody worked together to make mm-hmm. it so special for her mm-hmm. because yes. she had always been working so hard for everyone else.
Yeah, 100% agree. So did you give this a diamond originally?
Yes, I did.
So how would you rank it today?
Oh, diamond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
If I'm going to just get the tiniest little cynical edge that, you know, my husband is implanted and sitting next to me, I'll give it an orange diamond, but it's still, you know, that's the lowest it's going to go.
So. The lowest of the diamonds. That's funny. Oh, awesome. Well, I hope that it's McLean and Claire.
Yeah, McLean and Claire.
I hope they do another movie in the near future. We'll have to stay tuned because this one was awesome. I can't yeah. wait to see what other things they have in store for.
Yeah. Yeah, me too. And then yeah. I'm hoping they'll let me audition for it.
Oh, that would be fun.
Yeah, it would. Yeah. I auditioned for Love Fall in Order.
Okay.
And I wasn't able to make it, but that was filmed. Apparently, that was filmed after Holiday for Heroes. Holiday for mm-hmm. Heroes was because that was Claire's first one. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
they're really starting this trend mm-hmm. of being involved in movies together. And so
it's so
enjoyable to watch. It really is.
Yeah, so fun. Alrighty. So our third movie this weekend was Picture Perfect Christmas with Merritt Patterson and John Corr as Sophie and David. This is about the photographer who comes to help her grandma and who ends up being kind of a fake nanny, well, not fake nanny, but a substitute nanny. Co-nanny for her grandmother's neighbor's nephew. So,
right.
How did you feel about this movie?
One thing that really, really excited me about this movie is the fact that John Corr's character had adopted the nephew. I started my commentary on the preview with this. I'm just going to say right now, I love dogs. I love animals. I'm not an animal hater, but one of the only reasons that we don't own a dog is because we're not living in our own home right now.
Mm-hmm.
So we love dogs and all of that. But one thing that I have gotten just the tiniest bit weary is all of the pet adoption.
Oh, yes.
And I'm just like, another pet adoption. Oh, joy. Another pet adoption. Oh, joy.
Mm-hmm.
And just to acknowledge that children need homes too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I really, really, really appreciated that. And so that started me off right away mm-hmm. on a very good note. I didn't think I was going to like John Corr as much as I did. Mm-hmm. I liked him. I liked him a lot more than I thought I would. I'm not a huge facial hair fan. Mm-hmm. Facial hair is a little bit of a turnoff for me. And so I saw that he was a little shaggy and so I was like, you know, but I liked him a lot more than I thought I would. Mm-hmm. And then the little boy, first thing I saw him in was Sign, Seal, Delivered.
Oh, yes.
Yes, when he played another nephew. Mm-hmm. And the guy who played Austin in Blue Mountain Ridge Christmas.
Was the uncle.
Yes, he was the uncle. So
yes.
Everything's connected.
Yes, yes.
But, But I just adored that little boy. And I think his acting skills have only grown because in Sign Seal Delivered, he did kind of that over-enthusiastic, I think you better come out, Top.
Yeah.
You
know, yeah.
But in this movie, he was so real. Mm-hmm. So once again, they hit gold with this kid because, like I said, kid actors can be really touch and go as far as realism. And I know that it's Hallmark and fairy tale and all that, but I have to admit, I'm a bit of a realism fan. Mm-hmm. And it's probably because I'm an actor. I really like it when it's real.
Yeah.
And when reactions don't look fake.
Right, you know, right.
So sue me, right? But yeah, they struck gold with this kid. He was so real. He was so real.
Yes.
And I remember Whitney saying that she was a little nervous because she said that when the kids are in the majority of the movie, sometimes that tends for it to go down in quality a little bit.
Yeah.
And I don't think that was the case at all. I thought that they had great chemistry and interaction with the whole cast,
right? You
know, with the whole immediate cast.
Right, right. Yeah, he was really good. He was definitely not overreactive, and he just seemed to flow naturally, you know?
Yeah,
kind of like an everyday life situation with him. One thing that I found that was really funny for me was their quote-unquote meet cute, which wasn't all that cute because it was a complete misunderstanding. He opens the door and he's she's holding, you know, the nephew's hat, right? And he's like, you're like, come on in. And she's like, but, and he's like, you know, asking her all the questions. Where'd you go to school? And he completely just insults her for her degree because he doesn't realize like who she is and all that. And then when she's like, let me solve this for you.
So embarrassing. So embarrassing.
Funny. So funny.
But it's clever. You gotta say it's clever.
And it's different, that's for sure. They didn't, like, you know, run into each other walking the dog outside or, you know, running into knocking over someone's trash can or something like that, too. I thought the grandma was really funny.
Yeah, she's adorable, especially since she played such an angry character in Danica's movie Coming Home for Christmas that it was just fun to see her as more of a grandmotherly type. So.
Yes. Yes. Overall, for me, I thought the story was sweet. It was cute. I think it's one of those movies that I would play in the background. I didn't love it. And I think, to be fair, I was coming off of the Holiday for Heroes high.
Okay, so, that's not fair. That's not fair.
I know. I didn't hate it. I just didn't love it. But I would totally watch it again. I mean, you know, I thought it was sweet. I thought John Cork, Patterson, the rest of the characters did a great job. But yeah, that was just my take. I thought it was okay. Again, I will watch this again later on after, like on a Tuesday night.
My 8-year-old, it was really cute. She was watching part of it with me and she said, she's a really good actor. I like her.
Oh, yeah.
It was fun. And one thing I noticed about Merritt is she has a great flirty smile. There's that one part where he's talking to her and she's just listening and she's got the most adorable flirty smile. And I'm so sad that Rachel can't be here for this because she'll appreciate this. John Corr had the smolder.
He sure did.
Okay. Speaking of the smolder, so we hear that he's the, what do they call it? The best business bachelor of 2014. And I love that his best friend totally outed him. And he's like, no, 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 no. He comes in all embarrassed. No, definitely seeing those photos. Like, we didn't get to see even one.
Yes.
Come on.
No.
One photo. One.
I did love how he was like, that was just for business. He was like, well, we got good business out of it. And I'm like, yeah. Well, we will put that in our, you know, little bank of missing scenes that should have happened.
Yeah, but it's more fun giving details and watching you squirm, you know?
Yeah, for sure.
It was so funny to watch him squirm, mm-hmm. and to watch him be so humble. I mean, while I'm on that, it's so hard for me to not pay back people who give kindnesses to me. I just thought, oh,
yeah.
that's not something that you really, mm-hmm. you don't see a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
who is trying so hard to be independent mm-hmm. to acknowledge, you see it hard for him to say thank you, but mm-hmm. he acknowledges everything that everyone is doing for
yeah.
him. Yeah. It was sweet.
Yeah, for sure.
And then, okay, Jody, the ex-girlfriend, she was engaged.
Oh, yes.
Totally threw me for a loop.
I was like, wait, what?
She's not trying to win him back. Okay, I like you.
Yes, and I did like how the breakup with Merritt Patterson's character and the boyfriend, the photographer.
In the middle of the movie,
yeah.
Oh my gosh! Like,
right at the end, and then she goes, for the main character. So I really liked how it just kind of played out in the middle. Like, their relationship ended, and then it was like, oh, okay. And then she could develop the relationship without it feeling weird and too tired.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree with you 100% because I get so tired of seeing these films with characters who have been in a 5-year dead end relationship. I'm just, what is wrong with you?
Like, why are you still there? Right.
But okay, while we're on the smoldering look, Casey, we have to talk about the dance. Oh my gosh. Yes. That had to be the best.
Yes.
Had to be the best part in the movie, even better than the kiss. I'm gonna say it.
Oh, yep.
Better than the kiss.
The dance was so sweet. Oh.
Oh my gosh.
Loved it.
Okay. So my friend Sarah and I, we call the ones where they throw the kiss in the last 5 minutes. We mm-hmm. call those one kiss wonders. And we're not huge fans. Mm-hmm. We're not huge fans, and so whenever there's an interrupted kiss, we get really mad. So, I was just like, why can't they kiss in the middle of the movie? And that was so perfect. I mean, I get the whole interrupted kiss thing is really hot right now.
I know. He could have at least kissed her on the forehead, or like, something just endearing.
But minus that mm-hmm. dance, oh my gosh, my heart started pounding.
Yeah.
It was pounding. And for him to say, oh, well, it would be a shame to let a song you kind of love go to waste. Just that, how do I explain this without sounding like an idiot? The fact that neither of them was uncomfortable mm-hmm. with the fact that they were getting close.
Yeah.
Because, yeah, that can make for a good moment and it can make for good romantic tension, but it was as if they simultaneously mm-hmm. connected.
Yeah.
And just, we want to be together. We want to be close. We want to cuddle. And then mm-hmm. just, oh, that shot, that shot of him with his... I have a thing about noses. I don't know what it is. My husband and I will kind of rub noses sometimes, and I think it is so cute and so romantic. And so for his nose to be that close to her face where he's kind of breathing in her scent. Oh, so romantic.
So adorable. That's so funny.
Sorry, I sound like a blithering idiot now, but
no, you're good.
Whatever. Moving on.
So one question we got here on Twitter, which I found was interesting, from
Marianne, I was hoping you were going to bring that up. Yeah.
She asked our thoughts on her tweet here. She says, daughter of two teachers, here. It is a pretty terrible idea. It's a pretty terrible idea to pull a student for an extended Christmas vacation with his guardian uncle and guardian's girlfriend. I know it's Hallmark Channel, but I think that's an incredibly unstable choice. And then she has a gif of a guy like doing the cutoff sign. So she asked for Hallmark Pod's thoughts. So what are your thoughts on this? I know you're
responding. Oh, I have to go first.
No. I mean, no, I could.
No, I'm teasing. So I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, and they're both in school. I also have 2 younger kids, but obviously they're not in school yet. Mm-hmm. So I am not about missing school for the heck of it. Mm-hmm. I know some friends that whenever they've been, when a parent has been on a long trip and then they come back, the kids get to take off school because the parent has been gone for a while. Yeah, you'll see them when they come home and you can spend that entire time together. Mm-hmm. And my daughter, my 8-year-old, she's now on a bit of a stint where she thinks that she should be able to stay home just because she doesn't feel like going. And I go, no. She says, I think she's reading this wrong, but she says that her best friend gets to do it all the time. Well, not in this family. Sorry. And when I was 7, my grandfather passed away. Mm-hmm. And the morning that I found out in the morning when I got up to get ready for school. And the morning that I found out, I still had to go to school. Now, I think that was a bit extreme on my mom's part, but mm-hmm. the reason why I think she did it was because we had to go to Utah for the funeral. Mm-hmm. And so I was already going to be missing a whole lot of school. Mm-hmm. So I do not believe in taking off just for the heck of it. However, Switzerland is an amazing opportunity. Mm-hmm. And I've lived in a foreign country when I was about his age, mm-hmm. and it was an incredible experience. I didn't really appreciate it at the time, but right. I really appreciated it much later. Mm-hmm. And so my thought is that it would depend on what was happening when it was time to go, because she said we were going to push it to the new year, so we don't know if it was around New Year's Day mm-hmm. or if it was just going to be in the new year. Mm-hmm. So if there was a lot going on and he had big projects or there were going to be some big time things that were going to be covered, you got a grandmother right there that would yeah. be more than happy to stay with him. On the other hand, it's an incredible experience for a child that age. It's lovely that they're including him mm-hmm. and they want him to be included. And it's also a great opportunity for them to bond mm-hmm. because you know that they're going to be a future family.
Right.
So my opinion as a mom is it depends. It just really depends on what's happening when it's time to get ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with you there. For me, so for growing up, I was not allowed to miss school unless I was like super sick, family emergency.
Right.
And I put on here, I had perfect attendance from 7th to 11th grade.
You so, go, girl!
I know. My parents are nurses, so I couldn't fake sick with them. I mean, they're like, no, you're not, no fever? Okay, you're gonna go. All right.
You're fine.
You're fine. You're good. And so that was me growing up. My senior year, I got really sick, and so I missed a ton of school. Just, you know, I sprained my ankle, and so I had to go to the doctor that day. And it wasn't even like missing a full day of school. It was like missing parts of school. And then I did get pretty sick. Like, I think I had like bronchitis or the flu or something crazy where I was out of school for a few days. But that was me growing up. And then as a mom, so I will say I did pull my kid out of school because their fall break was half a week. And then, so she did technically have school for Monday and Tuesday and went like part of Wednesday, but she's also 4. So, I mean,
that's preschool.
Yeah.
That's not even real school.
Yeah. She's in kindergarten. So, I mean, like for me, I'm just like, it's fine. So we went to Disney, especially because we can, and she's, you know, she's young. I mean, they're still learning their letters, and she, you know, she can pick up on all of that.
Yeah. When they're she's not missing a whole bunch of learning.
Right, right, right. Now, if she were older, no, I mean, there are things that they have to get done. So, I probably wouldn't pull her out for that. I think for me, if it's like an incredible opportunity, or
like Switzerland
or something where it was like, okay, what can we do in advance? And I would plan it. And I mean, it would be in advance. It wouldn't be a, you know, spur of the moment thing. And she would, you know, my kids would be doing like making up school as we're, you know, getting towards, going towards
this have them take all of their work with them. Yes, absolutely.
And do it beforehand. So they're like doubling up on assignments, making sure they're not behind. So I would definitely take those, you know, necessary measures to make sure they weren't missing out.
Yeah.
Part of my reasoning for that too is like when it's one of those incredible opportunities and it's not just like, oh, we're going to, you know, head up Atlanta for a week for fun or go to Gatlinburg or whatever. You know, I mean, I feel like family memories are very precious and you don't have that time. You don't have a lot of time with, you know, kids, especially, you know, as they're growing up and growing older and everybody's schedules are getting busy. So again, like you, I would say it definitely depends. In this situation, I will say it is a little odd to me just because the relationship is so new.
Yes. Yeah, so, I will agree with that.
That one's kind of like a ooh. And then on the other hand, if I want to be on the pro side of things, if it's like right at the New Year's, well, maybe his class doesn't start back up till the second week of January. So they have the first week of January to go. So
maybe he won't miss a single day.
Yeah. Right. So that's just my take on that. It depends. To each their own.
Right.
Yes.
One thing I really adored about John's character was that he was so happy for her with the opportunities that she was getting.
Yeah.
And, you know, when he heard that she got the gig in Switzerland, I'm talking about in the middle of the movie, when he heard that she got the gig, he was excited for her. Mm-hmm. It was going to take her away from him, but he was excited for her because she had this amazing opportunity. And then when they're sitting next to each other on the bench and he moves a little closer and then she backs off, you can tell that he is so sad and disappointed, but he still kind of strokes her face.
I know.
You know, it's, he doesn't all of a sudden hate her.
Yeah.
You know, he said, no, you don't have to be, I'm doing it to myself. My gosh. But he said, no, you don't have anything. You don't have anything to be sorry for. And just, you know, that softer tone, and he's still touching and stroking her cheek. And then, you know, she says, I'll stay, but he says, no, accept it, accept it. And we'll go with you. Now, one thing I will say as a mom, that cannot become the normal.
Right.
I mean, with this one time, yes, we'll go, but I cannot take you with me every time I get an out of country assignment there.
Right.
Right. So that was, that was something that I thought was really, really sweet and really built up his attractive quality and really made him desirable as a character. And going back to the dance, apparently I'm very hung up on this. In the movie Falling for You with Tyler Hines and Taylor Cole, they did the interrupted kiss so well. Mm-hmm. They're on the bridge. The lights are twinkling. Oh, yeah. It's the perfect moment. He takes hold of her face. People are coming. Whoa! Hands go down. We're not doing anything. And then he gets ready to walk away and she pulls him back and boom, kisses him.
Yeah.
I just went, yes! That's the epitome of the interrupted kiss, because you have the moment of interruption. Yay, good for you. But then you still have the perfect moment of the kiss and it's not forgotten. So,
right.
Okay, I'm done.
So with your rankings, do you remember your old one and what would you give it today?
I do not remember my old ranking, but I'm pretty sure because of the whole adoption thing, it was probably an orange or an orange diamond or something like that. I'm gonna go with an orange with diamond clusters on it.
Okay.
So it's still, it wasn't my favorite, but it was sure good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This one I gave, my original was an orange. I gave it socks this weekend, but cute, fuzzy, really warm socks. I know.
I'm shocked.
Again, I blame it on coming off of the holiday for Heroes High. It'll probably,
all right.
It'll probably go up when I watch it again. Because, I mean, there were so many cute moments in this movie, for sure.
That happens a lot. When you go the second time through, you catch more stuff. And so you're not desperately trying to take notes for a podcast.
Right.
We'd like to take a second to talk about our second sponsor of this episode of the podcast. They are the good folks over at Skylight Frame, and it's a really cool thing that they do. We've seen lots of digital frames before, but this is a unique one where you can actually have people email you photos directly to the frame. So you could be sitting there watching your pictures go by, and boom, surprise picture from somebody in your family, which I think is such a fun new idea. And you think of how many pictures that we take on our, you know, Instagram and everything, and those can just be uploaded immediately to the frame. I think it looks really nice. It's a 10-inch touchscreen. It has a black frame, white mat. It just will go with anything in your house, and it'd just be really novel and sweet. So if you're looking for a great gift for somebody in your family, this is something that they, I think, will really enjoy. And right now you can get $10 off your purchase of a Skylight Frame. You go to skylightframe.com, enter code Hallmark. And so $10 off, that's Skylight Frame, SKYLIGHTFRAME.com, and enter code Hallmark, not Hallmarkies.
And so then the last movie is The Mistletoe Secret, starring Tyler Hines and Kelly Pickler as Alex and Aria. So, The Mistletoe Secret, basically, Kelly Pickler's character has entered her town for this travel magazine blog show TV thing for the Christmas festivities so that they can...
Masters of Travel.
Oh, yes, yes. Put that town back on the map.
Woo! Midway, Utah. I've actually passed through there. So.
Oh, okay.
But it was a long time ago. I couldn't tell you anything about if they actually do that stuff.
Yeah.
So,
but basically, it's basically a Christmas town. You have the Sugar Plum Inn, the Mistletoe Diner. You know, all these cutesy little Christmassy names. Okay, we gotta address here. Tyler Hines picking out the ugly Christmas sweater made me laugh so hard, because everybody knows all the Hallmarkies just are dying over his Henleys and sweaters. I think there's even a Twitter dedicated to Tyler Hines t-shirts.
Uh-huh. Tyler Hines Henleys or something like that. Yeah. Yep. There is.
Yes.
It's like a Twitter account being dedicated to Lee Coulter's plaid pants.
Yes! gotta love the people who run those outfit Twitter accounts. They make
giving all the props to the clothing.
Yes. So funny. So how did you feel about this one?
Tyler Hines is one of those people. He is up there with Andrew Walker in my book. I would say Daniel Lissing as well, because he's one of my favorites, but he's not in as many Hallmark movies as Tyler and Andrew are, because they seem to be in a lot lately.
Oh, yeah.
And Andrew's just been in millions.
Yeah. So, King of Hallmark.
But, yeah, he is. So Tyler is right up there with Andrew in my book, that if I see he's in it, I know I'm going to like it.
Mm-hmm.
And he can make anything that he's in better. I'm not a huge Kelly Pickler fan. I did not really care for Christmas in Graceland because I can't stand the twang. I'm a Texan, born and raised in Texas, but my parents are both from the West Coast, and so I don't sound like it. And I don't even use the word y'all. It bugs me. I know.
And you're from Texas. That's funny.
I know. I'm a Texan through and through, and I don't use the word y'all.
And you really don't have an accent, Southern accent either.
No, I don't. Not really. And so it creeps in now here and there, but it just, but her twang bugs me so much. And the nasal country singing, it's just, it's really hard for me to listen to as a trained singer. It just, I just don't like it. It's not my style. The girl has a gorgeous voice, but it's just not my style. Now, I will say that her accent was not nearly as thick this time.
No, so it wasn't.
It was definitely tampered back, and I very much appreciated that. And it was funny because my husband, once again, he's kind of on the sidelines watching. I think he just secretly likes watching them, and he's saying, oh, yeah. But I also will say that there were several times in this one, he laughed. He laughed at several lines, and I said, you laughed! You laughed!
That means you liked it!
You liked it! But he said, no, that was a good line. That was a good line. Anyway, but one thing he did say is, her accent is way too thick for Utah. I've heard of American Fark, but no. And then they covered it. They did cover it. That she's originally from North Carolina. And I went, yay, Hallmark. Good for you.
Yes, I was wondering about that too.
That would have bothered me. That would have bothered me if they had left it like that. That's not a Utah accent.
Yeah, no, for sure. I honestly was wondering how they were going to figure out how to cover up her accent or what they were going to do with it. And I also didn't pick up it was in Utah in the beginning either. When they didn't have accents and it was snowy and it was Christmas themed, I was like, okay, this is somewhere out west somewhere.
It's not in the south.
Yeah, I'm like, wait, where are we? I'm so geographically confused right now. And then she says the North Carolina thing, and I'm like, okay, maybe her mom's like super North Carolinian and her dad doesn't have, since she got the accent from the mom who's passed away, which covers her accent, because the dad didn't have an accent.
He did. It was much less. It was much more subdued, but he did. And may I say, Patrick Duffy as a dad, awesome choice.
Yeah, he did awesome. I didn't pick up on the accent. I really didn't. for the dad, I did not hear an accent.
I did. Okay. So trust me, it was there.
Yeah, maybe I'm just used to it because I am like basically Floribama. So I live in the South here. So, but yes. So
we got two Southern women. Yeah. We got two Southern women running the podcast today.
Yes. Kelly Pickler. So when she was on American Idol, I just loved her back then. And like, I was like, Kelly Pickler. And we have like the little call-ins and they didn't have hashtags back then, but her would have been hashtag would have been Pick Pickler, because that's what she'd always say. And I do enjoy country. So when she was in Christmas with Graceland, I thought it was odd. Like, it was odd because I was used to her as a singer, not as an actress. The movie itself was fine for me. I liked it. I mean, you know, I did not like that she sang Silent Night 700 times. So I was very nervous that they were going to make her sing like Deck the Halls, you know, 16 times in this movie, which they didn't. She just had like a little bit.
It was much more subdued. It was only twice that she sang. And
two different songs.
Two different songs too. Yes. Yeah. Yes. I really did appreciate that big time.
And she was just singing to herself, which I also appreciated because they didn't make her out to be like some singer that wasn't the storyline here.
Right.
But as far as the storyline, I thought it was kind of funny. Just the whole mix them up with the ghostwriter. So Alex is Sterling Masters, ghostwriter.
Oh, and can we just say, what a jerk.
I know, and what a pretentious name.
Sterling was such a jerk. And I like that actor, Christopher Russell, mm-hmm. but he's only been the lead in a handful of movies. And it's sad because he's so good looking.
Yeah.
And he plays the lead very well when he's mm-hmm. given the chance. He was in the movie with Jessica Lowndes. It was a Christmas movie where he was a photographer and she was the planner for the magazine. I'm blanking on the name. Shoot. Well, I'll think of it in a second. Mm-hmm. But he has a lot of talent, but which shows here because he was a complete jerk. I hated him.
Yes.
Even though he was so good looking, I couldn't stand him.
Yeah. I wrote here that Sterling Masters is such a bro. It's like, sup, bro?
Oh, what's up, bro? Yeah, that's a really good way of putting it.
He's such a bro. He's like, yeah, man, we've been friends for like 10 years. Thanks for doing all this. Thanks for doing my work so I can be the face. Yeah, no problem, man. he was the worst. I mean, Christopher Russell, awesome job at being the worst.
You know? Awesome job at being the worst, dude.
But I will say at the end, I did appreciate that he kind of acknowledged, like, oh, you've been on the mistletoe because you have a thing for her. Oh, I wish I would have known that, you know? So I do appreciate the fact that he did stay true to Alex's, like, their friendship stayed true to each other. Like, they didn't have a man breakup in a way. And that he did acknowledge that, like, once he realized Alex had feelings for Aria, it was like, okay.
I thought he was pretty dense for not realizing it. And just when he took the ornament, I was like, oh, dude, that was wrong.
Yeah.
And he said, oh, I didn't realize. How could you not realize that he wanted that ornament? But, yeah.
Dude.
Okay.
He's a bro. Dudes. He's a bro. Yeah. Bros don't notice those things.
And then when Alex says, yeah, Merry Christmas, you giant, because he's hugging him way up here.
So funny.
I thought that was a hysterical moment because mm-hmm. it's natural, it's friendly, mm-hmm. you know, it's obvious that they're not having a man breakup, like you said, and then mm-hmm. But it also acknowledges the fact that Christopher Russell is 11 feet tall.
You know? Yeah, for sure.
And Tyler Hines is much shorter. So, yeah, Merry Christmas, you giant. You
know? Yeah. I also...
The movie that Jessica and Christopher were in together, Merry Matrimony. That was it.
Oh, yes. Yes, that was a few years ago. Yes. I also really loved how Tyler Hines is an awesome Christmas cynic without being a complete Scrooge. You know, he was just...
Oh my gosh. I wrote down right here in my notes, his character is a lot like Falling for You. He's businesslike,
yes.
A bit on the cynical edge, but he's not cruel.
Mm-hmm.
And he just doesn't have the experience.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't have the experience of Christmas. But when it starts happening, he doesn't close himself off to it or anything.
Right.
Yeah, I really, because it's a fine line. Mm-hmm. It's a fine line to walk, but he did it so well.
He did.
This is now the second time that he's done it so well, where mm-hmm. he plays a businessman who's here to do a job, but he's not a mean person.
Mm-hmm. Right. He wasn't a Scrooge. I really appreciated that. He had such a great dry sense of humor too, because his lines were the ones I laughed at, and just like his like little smirks here and there. I'm like, you're funny.
His acting style reminds me a lot of Robert Downey Jr. Because he's so naturally sarcastic.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Now, Robert Downey Jr. is a lot more sarcastic, and Tyler kind of gives it the sweeter edge.
Yeah.
But that's kind of what his style has come to remind me of. Mm-hmm. And it just makes it so natural, you know, where, you know, where he's talking under his breath, like, nah, 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 you know, or, or when Craig is driving him to the canyon, like, go get your Christmas. Okay. I'm going to get my Christmas stamp. You know? Right. And he's like, get it. Okay. I'm going. It's,
yep. Just,
it's so funny. He has got to be, I'm talking like an actor again, sorry, but he has got to be one of the best people to play off of. You know, when you're doing a scene with him, I can imagine that he just gives so much that people just find it so easy to play off of him.
Yeah.
If he hadn't been so hairy, I would have liked him a whole lot better. Because I remember when in that one scene when Sterling and Alex are almost vying for Arya's attention, I'm looking at this TV screen and I said, this is horribly shallow of me, but I would have picked Sterling too.
shame on me
But just from what was said, you know, so not knowing any of the backstory stuff, but just what was said and appearances,
I would agree with you there, so no judgment.
Oh, good.
Here.
Oh, good.
So one thing that my, as the butler slash people say, small little gag. I did not really like the fact that Arya was all like, you betrayed my trust with the whole, you know, when he reveals that he was the, or when she finds out from Sterling that Alex was his ghostwriter.
And did she figure that out a little quickly for you? I was like, wait, what? That's kind of quick that Alex told me about the mistletoe story. Oh, it was Alex all along. Like, wait, hold. How did you get from A to B?
I think because she loved, obsessed over Sterling Master's work and the writing and just everything. And there's several points in the movie where she'd say something to Sterling and he'd be like, what?
Okay, so she was kind of tying it.
Yeah, so she was probably thinking in her mind, like, how could you forget this experience, or like, how could you forget this detail? Because if you know, you would know, you know, the details. Like, oh, I remember, I went to Switzerland and I got these little Christmas bulb things, and they were amazing, and they were hand painted. Like all the little details.
Germany.
Switzerland's the other movie. Germany. And then when Alex picked up one of the Christmas bulbs and he said, you know, the Germany thing. And she was like, how did you know that? He was like, oh, you know, he kind of played it off. And they're just little things here and there that I know as a woman, I would pick up on. Like, wait a second, this doesn't add up. I think it was at that moment when she had dinner with Sterling, it all came together for her when she realized, like, this is why he knows squat about what he was writing about and all that.
And all of the slips that Sterling kept doing.
Yes.
He's allergic to poinsettias. How did you know that? You are such an idiot.
Yes. But,
okay. That does make more sense. Thank you for talking me off the cliff there.
Oh, you're good. I just feel like if there was anybody to be mad at, she should have been mad at Sterling, because he put his supposed best friend through making him successful, and he didn't, you know, Alex never got any of the credit and anything. And then Arya, I thought she was going to go, Sterling told me everything. And you are such a good friend to him to, you know, basically make him successful. But
you let him take all the credit
and everything. And instead it went the way opposite way. And I was like, what are you doing? So that was my little like, but at the end, when she realized her mistake, I loved the getting all her friends to stall Alex from leaving town, and then
the car keys.
Yes,
the car keys.
Oh yeah, we'll take you to the airport. Yeah, no big deal. This happens all the time.
Return, Yeah, we return cars for people all the time. It just, we're very friendly here in Midway. That was classic. It was totally classic.
So overall, I like this movie too. I mean, I didn't think I would like it, really. I gave it orange socks because originally, just because of Tyler Hines, because I've liked all his movies. Otherwise, I probably would have given it like coal covered socks because I gave him an orange. So, yeah, I think I'd stand by that, but they're extra fuzzy and extra warm. So,
okay.
Yeah. What about you? Do you remember your?
I probably did socks because of Kelly Pickler, mm-hmm. but they were probably orange colored socks because of Tyler. So I'm going to up it to an orange because it was not as torturous as I thought it was going to be.
Yes.
I did think that it was a lot better than I thought it was going to be. It exceeded my expectations. Mm-hmm. And I do have to say, because I'm working on a novel, and so all of his novel talk was really mm-hmm. hitting home with me. Unfortunately I can't just take 6 months off of being a mom to go write that novel. Yeah. So time is a little stretched at the moment, but you know what? It'll happen. It'll happen mm-hmm. when it's supposed to happen. But all of his novel talk I really appreciated. Mm-hmm. And so when he was totally pulling all of these synopses out of the air, he's like,
oh, yeah.
It's called The Mistletoe Secret. And this jewel thief hid the prized Christmas gem in the Christmas tree.
Like,
wow, good job, man.
I was kind of like, oh, I think I would read that just because it's so whimsically nonsensical. I mean, sure.
Well, and that was actually one thing that bothered me. I was like, why is she so suspicious? Why is she so suspicious about, like, why do you need to be at a tree lighting ceremony for a mystery novel? He already told you it's mm-hmm. called The Mistletoe Mystery. Duh! You know? That's when I thought she was being a little oblivious.
Mm-hmm.
You already know that it's a mystery surrounded by a theme of Christmas. Get over
right.
it.
Right. Right. Funny.
So, but yeah, I just said, props to you, man, pulling that out of the air. Good job. You pulled the title and the synopsis out mm-hmm. of the air. Good job. And by the same token, the woman who was on the Christmas committee, I don't mm-hmm. remember the character's name,
mm-hmm.
but the red-headed curly the curly redhead who played Mrs. Claus,
yes,
and then mm-hmm. she was also a granny in Once Upon a Time, and she's been in a lot of other Hallmark films. I thought it was so funny that she talks up her acting career and everything like that. And then her flashcards get blown away with the wind. I said, and I even wrote down in my notes, I said, a real actress could improv.
I was going to say, yeah.
It's like, she's totally lost without a script.
Yeah.
And I know they did that on purpose. Mm-hmm. That wasn't a critique of the movie, but Dad setting the two of them up, like, maybe you could go help her get a Christmas tree. Daddy, my back is sore.
You know, he was so
classic
cute.
Father. Mm-hmm. Classic father move.
It It was a fun. It was definitely a fun movie with lots of quirky little characters and the mix them up.
I think that's actually something that's kind of been missing so mm-hmm. far this year. Is a lot of it has been so serious.
Yeah.
So this one kind of gave us a chance to laugh and mm-hmm. have fun and just kind of kick back a bit. So I would definitely, so very long explanation for a short question. Mm-hmm. I'd up it to an orange.
Yeah. It was definitely a fun movie.
Yeah.
Woo. So that's it. We got them all covered.
All four of them.
All four of them. Woo. Yep. And it's only mid-November. So where can people follow you?
So you can find me on Instagram and Twitter at Cami Drama Girl, Cami spelled K-A-M-I, because there are a million spellings of Cami. And you can also find me on Facebook with my Hooked Hardy Facebook page. And my blog is hookedhardy.com.
Awesome. And you can find me on Twitter at Hallmark My Words. So, okay. I guess we can say Merry Christmas.
Bye, everybody. Bye.